Yes, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we'd like to perhaps finish this series that we started, but we're going to look at the positive side today. We're going to be looking at heaven. We spent a lot of time looking at the other side, and the purpose of doing so is to offset some of the false doctrines that are coming forth about hell, saying that God is not going to leave people there, some even saying that God is going to bring the devil out. And when we actually realize how horribly wicked the devil is, and understand that it is really impossible, he has passed a point of no return. His goal is really to annihilate the earth and every living thing on the earth. And if he were given the opportunity, he would do it at the blink of an eye. It is only the wonderful power of God that is holding him back. Now, God is going to loose him in our time, in the time in which we live, in our generation, very soon, I believe. He's going to be loosed, and he's going to be given an opportunity to some degree to carry this out. But we understand that the sons of God are also going to be given great power by the Lord, the sufficient power to hold back the forces of hell. And this is the thing that we are preaching, the message of the kingdom of God to the sons of God, who will rise up in that strength, in that power, in the glory of the Lord. Amen. Because he intends to share that glory with us. And that's the side that we want to look at today somewhat. Amen. So if we can look to Matthew, the 25th chapter, and you remember that Matthew 23, 24, 26 is really some of the deepest, most concentrated end time messages that Jesus gave before he left the earth. It is the message, the 23rd chapter is a warning against false religion. The 24th chapter is the signs and the evidence of his coming and the end of the age. And the 25th chapter is really a warning to us to watch and be prepared. Amen. So as we go to the 25th chapter, let's look at verse 31. And I will begin reading here, and we'll read down a few verses here. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Hallelujah. The Son of Man. He calls himself here in Matthew the Son of Man. Amen. We know he's also the Son of God. But he's referring to his humanity here when he says, he, the one who was born of a virgin, amen, the one who came down, he will come, amen, in glory. Hallelujah. Can you imagine what this glory is going to be like? You know, we've had just a little taste of this glory, have we not? Amen. Rita was busy in her kitchen here several weeks ago and just attending to her fixing breakfast, I believe it was. And the glory of the Lord came and revealed some things to her, amen, about her family. And she said the glory of the Lord just lingered there for a season of time. Now, this probably wasn't as powerful a glory, you know, that would knock you down and make you blind and all that. You know, maybe wasn't quite as powerful as what Moses saw. Nevertheless, it was the glory of God.
Amen.
And you know, when you get a word like that and there's such a glory that comes with it, you know it's God.
Amen.
You know it's from God.
Amen.
And you can be confident in that knowing because that's a mark of his being. Hallelujah. We don't need to be deceived when we taste of that glory of the Lord. I don't think Satan can duplicate that. I just don't think he can. No, I don't think so. Amen. And before him shall be gathered all nations, And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Amen. You know, sometimes I think it's hard to tell sheep from goats. Oh no, not in the natural. In the natural, I know what a sheep looks like. I know what a goat looks like. But spiritually, apparently he is the one that's going to have to separate sheep from goats. Because I think goats pretend to be like sheep. They hang around with sheep. They eat grass like sheep. You know what I mean? But they have a problem called butt. But they butt. Amen. They push and they shove. Amen. And they don't act like sheep. They have a different nature. They have an independent, rebellious nature about them. Even though they hang around with sheep, and maybe they like the companionship of sheep, they're not like sheep. Really. Amen. Nevertheless, they're a clean animal. Okay, and then it says, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now, these, remember I said these are all clean animals. But he is going to separate them. He's going to separate sheep, which I believe is true sheep, from goats, which are not true sheep. Amen. And then shall the king say to them on his right hand, and this is the part I want to focus on here, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. To the sheep on his right hand, notice he puts them on his right hand, the place of favor. Amen? And he's saying to you, and now we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, are we not? We are talking about heaven. Amen? But he says, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, there has been an inheritance planned for you. It is called the kingdom. Amen? And he intends that we will inherit this kingdom. All right? Now we're going to define what this kingdom is. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. In other words, you gave me food. I was hungry. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Now, these are the marks of a sheep. Okay? The marks of a sheep is that they care for other sheep. Okay? Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. Amen. He didn't say you cured me. He said you visited me. In other words, I was suffering, and you came, and you identified with me in my suffering. You partook of my pain. It doesn't matter what the pain was. Maybe you weren't physically sick. You know, maybe you're just going through a hard time. And somebody came and said, listen, can I help you here a little bit? Maybe I can give you some advice. Maybe I can show you the way out. Maybe I can just tell you, look, you're not as bad as you think you are. You know, it's going to be okay. So I visited you. I was in prison, and you came to me. Prison? What was I doing in prison? I wasn't in prison because I was a criminal, a murderer, a thief. I was in prison because I was preaching the gospel. Somebody was accusing me of hate speech or something like that. I don't know what they did. They didn't have these terms years ago. They just said, oh, he's preaching some gospel we don't like. Throw him in the hooscow. You know. But today they have all kinds of fancy terms. And you know what? They're going to throw people in prison for these things. It has happened already in Canada. There's been a preacher that's been thrown in prison because he spoke out against homosexuality. And you know, this is getting to be a real hot issue. There are many occasions that they will find. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, look, we don't remember doing that. When did I do that? Right? Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Jesus is saying, I was hungry. I was in prison. I was naked. I had these problems and you visit and you ministered to me. And the saints are not going to understand, Jesus, we don't remember you being hungry. No, no. He goes on. Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came to thee? And the king, notice it says the king shall answer and say to them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it into one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now goats, I'm not going to read the part about the goats. It's just the opposite. And it's not a very pleasant place that they're going. By the way, it says everlasting. Everlasting fire. So, the same thing, the kingdom of God, if we inherit it, it's lasting. It's forever. You're not going to get a short-term lease in the kingdom. You're not going to get something that's going to expire after a few years. You're going to get something of an inheritance that will remain forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Any questions about that? Now go back to Matthew 5. And by the way, you get back into Matthew 5, you're in what they call the Beatitudes. Basically, you're in the Sermon on the Mount. And you know, we don't do a whole lot with the Sermon on the Mount. We think, oh, this is just baby Christian stuff, you know, blessed this, blessed that, you know. But you know what? Some good treasure here. Some good nuggets. Revelation. This is all about the kingdom of God, brethren. So look here in Matthew 5, verse 5. These are the blesseds. Amen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What? I want heaven. Well, go back to verse 1, or to verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But then in verse 5 here, he says that you'll inherit the earth. Well, wait a minute. Where am I going to be? Am I going to be in heaven or am I going to be on earth? Why do I want to inherit earth if I've inherited the kingdom of heaven? Have you figured that out by now? Because heaven's coming to earth. Heaven is going to take over earth. Well, how can I be in heaven and be on earth at the same time? Well, you can, because it's a spiritual kingdom, isn't it? The spiritual realm is coming to change the natural realm. When it says new heaven and new earth, that's what it means. The natural things are going to be changed by the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Go also to Matthew, verse 19, or chapter 19. And there's another good word right here. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 29. Now, he's talking about rewards here. And by the way, this doesn't just apply to Peter. Okay? If it only applied to Peter, why would it be written here for us? So let's just read the Peter part, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have thereof? Therefore, Peter wanted to know what his wages were going to be. Lord, we didn't, you know, when you said follow me, I just dropped everything and ran. But, you know, I forgot to ask you, you know, how about some wages here? What are we going to get out of this? You know, I don't remember getting my paycheck yet. What am I going to get for all this? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory. There's that throne of His glory again, isn't it? When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, this is spiritual language, brethren. I don't think you're literally going to see 12 seats, 12 thrones. I'm not sure. Maybe you will, but I doubt it. When we say the 12 tribes of Israel, remember, each of these tribes have a name, don't they? And you know, the name has a meaning. It means you're going to rule over 12 different realms of nature, of man. It's all going to be under the control of the Spirit. Amen? Now, and he says, and everyone, and everyone, that includes how many of us? Okay. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life. What does that mean, receive 100-fold? What's 100-fold? Let's suppose I gave you $1 and you're going to give me 100-fold return. How much would I get back? I'd get $100, wouldn't I? Okay. Now, let's not get too carnal about this. let's not start preaching, well, you people need to start giving more because you're going to get thousands and thousands of dollars in profit return. No, that's not what it means. And I'm sure that God is well able to bless you abundantly in your giving. Okay? Yes, He is. He is well able to do that, and He doesn't mind doing that. But that's not the doctrine that I'm trying to preach here. What I'm saying is, how about 100-fold lands and brothers and sisters and houses and this type of thing? Do you know that when you leave your house and your brothers and your sisters and you go out and begin to preach the gospel of the kingdom, do you know what happens? You get 100 more houses to stay in. Now, Rita and I are not, I don't think we're going to have to go and rent high-priced hotels where we go. People look and they say, oh, wow, you went to there and you went to Prague? Oh, wow, that's expensive. But you know what? We got brethren there. Say, oh, you can have my house. Another brother, oh, no, it's my turn to keep them. So we have houses, we have brothers, we have sisters, we have children. We have all these things. And we all have them. Amen? You have, Bernie and Marilyn, you have many houses. And our house is your house. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our children are your children. We pray for your children, you pray for my children. You know what? If you don't pray for your children, who's going to pray for them? Except the house of God. Hallelujah. All right, and receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal, everlasting life. The word is everlasting. Now remember when we were talking about those words, the meaning of the word eternal and everlasting? This is the same word. This is that Greek word. It's number 166 in the concordance. And it means going on perpetually. You will inherit perpetual, ongoing, never-ending, eternal life. Amen? But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Amen. Now, go to 1 Corinthians. And we have another verse that I'd like to look up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And go to verse 9. Now, I want to just take one look at the other side of the coin here for a minute. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Hello. Verse 9. Chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Translation, don't you know? Surely you know this. Unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Now here's a list of those who will not inherit. Neither fornicators, what's that mean? That means people that are involved in sex outside of marriage. Pornia. Okay? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate.
What's that?
Effeminate, in the margin of my Bible, says homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, and my margin says sodomites, nor thieves. Now so far you can understand this, can't you? These are pretty bad things. Nor covetous. What? Just because I covet? Well, Lord, is it that bad that I want what my brother has? I want what my neighbor has. I want his car. I want his house. I want his this. I want his that. Covetous. It must be pretty bad in God's eyes. Look who he's throwing it in. Nor drunkards, nor revilers. What are revilers? What's revile mean? Yeah, people that mock and speak bad of other people. Nor revilers, nor extortioners. What's an extortioner? Somebody that squeezes money or goods or something out of you under threat. Hey, listen, you either give me what I want or I'll tell everybody what I know about you. And that pretty well works in politics, doesn't it? Extortion, bribery. None of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. None of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's sin. People that practice these sins are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They're going to be with the inheritance of the goats. Okay? Not true believers. Hallelujah. Okay. Is there questions about that? Luke 22. Go back to Luke for a minute. Luke 22:24. Luke 22:24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. What did I do? Did I write the wrong thing down here? No, let's go on. Okay, let's go on. So here they are. The disciples are having a discussion, which of us is going to be greatest? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Anybody got a good definition of benefactors?
Mine says benefactors.
And well-doers, yeah. Those that are, you set up a charity, and those that give a lot, you know, they're called benefactors. They're rich. They give big gifts. Okay? They that exercise authority upon them. Okay? But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Now, he that sitteth at meat means the man that sits at the table or the waiter that brings him the food. Which one is the greater? Okay? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. In other words, here I am, the Lord. I should have the privilege of sitting down and you people waiting on me. You bring me food. You wash my feet. You change my shoes and my socks. You know, you just wait on me. Do whatever servants do. I should have that privilege. But no, I'm here and I'm serving you. Ye are they. Now here's the verse I'm looking for. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, which is my trials. Okay? And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. Now here's another. He's giving the inheritance again. I am appointing a kingdom to you. The same thing that my Father gave me, I'm giving it to you. That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And Israel, again, means the people of God. Okay? Now, go to John chapter 14. This is just preaching the kingdom, what I'm doing today. And you thought I was preaching heaven. I am. I'm preaching heaven. I'm preaching the kingdom of God. Amen? John chapter 14. The first four verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Why was their heart troubled? Because he was telling them that he's going to go away. In other words, I'm not going to walk the streets with you like I've been walking with you these past 3.5 years. It's getting time for me that I'm going to leave. Don't be troubled about it, okay? Why? You believe in God, believe also in me. Okay? In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you know what those mansions are? Dwelling places. Okay, now, if you wanted to go literal on that translation, I suppose you could say are many houses. Many places to live. Many living places. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I don't know why they put the word mansion in here. It could just as well have been said many houses, many places for you to live. Because in our mind, when you see the word mansion, what do you think of? You think of 20 rooms, 7 bathrooms, you know, 12 bedrooms, a spacious living room about the size of this place where we're meeting right here today, you know. Undoubtedly servants running about, a cook in the back room cooking up everybody's supper, you know, housekeepers and maids. Yeah, that's what goes with a mansion, isn't it? Big, lots of space. Amen. That's what our mind tells us. And you see, people read this in the natural and they expect this is going to be waiting for me when I get to heaven. I'm going to have wallpaper of a certain design. I'm going to have, Ethan Allen furniture because that's my favorite, or whatever. Name your brand, Nichols and Stone. I don't know. What are some of the names that they give for modern furniture today? People talk that way. You know, yeah, certain kind of curtains on the wall, and oh yes, I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that, and they expect when they die that they're going to be ushered in. Oh yes, golden pavement. I forgot that.
Yes,
amen. All right. Now, by the way, they're going to have these things, but it's going to be a spiritual thing. It's not going to be a natural setting. How can you expect to die as a spiritual being and end up in a natural environment? Because your natural body is on earth decaying. At least for now it will be. It will be restored. Amen. And I don't know what kind of heaven. I've heard some of these people testify of the place that they went. I don't know where they went. They must not have understood what the kingdom of God really is. You know, I don't know. Anyway, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, which we know he is, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Now, he's saying to them that where I am, you may be also. He didn't say that where I will be, you will also be. Do you notice the tense that he's using here? Let's assume that the translators use the right tense in using this. He is talking to them in the present tense when he stood among them in his natural body on earth in natural Israel, and he said to them, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you, that where I am, that means that where I am right now, you may be also. In other words, he isn't going to a different place. He didn't say that where I will go, you will come also. He said, where I am. Tell me what that means. That means that when Christ was speaking, he was in a spiritual place. He was in a place with the Father. He was in relationship with the Father God. He was, while he was walking in flesh, he was walking above the beggarly elements of this earth. He was walking, you know what comes to me? Is that vision that Janet had at Karen's wedding that was just months before the Lord took her. She saw the vision where she was walking above the trees. Walking above the trees. It's in one of the books. I don't know which one, but it's in one. We gave the whole account, word for word. We printed it out. It's in one of those books. That's what Jesus meant. That where I am, right now, I'm above the things that are coming against me. Satan is tempting me. He finds no ground in me. Why? Because I'm above it. There's no hooks that his there's nothing he can grab a hold of. I'm not interested in his offers for power. I'm not interested in his covetousness. I'm not interested in anything that he wants to tempt me with. I'm above it. Problems. People hate me. People curse at me. I'm not there. I'm not down on that level. That where I am, we're talking about the inheritance that we have. That where I am, you will be also. That's why I'm going to prepare it for you. See, I have to leave here temporarily. That where I am, you'll be there too. You'll be able to walk just like I'm walking. What else does it mean? It doesn't mean I'm going to go walk on the kind of thing that wedding rings are made out of. Not that natural. That means I'm going to walk on the nature of God. God is gold. His nature is gold. The tabernacle, the things that represent the divine things in the tabernacle, were totally made out of pure gold. And if there was wood, the wood had to be covered with the gold. The ark, total, pure gold. Nothing of man, no wood whatsoever in the Ark of the Covenant. The lid, pure gold. Hallelujah. Nature of God, purity of God. And even that which was gold, I think the golden altar was wood, but it was covered with gold, was it not? Tell me if I got that wrong, but I think I'm pretty sure that's the way it was. Nature of man covered with the nature of God. We're talking about the kingdom. Hallelujah. Okay, go over to John 17, and we get another view of what he's talking about here. Man, I tell you, I wish I had understood this when I was a teenager reading the Gospels. I would have been able to understand the things of the kingdom. I'd read through these things and, oh, well, okay, you know. Didn't really know what it meant. John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone. All right? Now, he prayed specifically for his disciples. But now he says, my prayer isn't just limited to them. You know, I have heard people, theologians, say, well, when Jesus told them to go into the world and heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers, that was only for the disciples. That is not meant for us today. Oh, come on! Jesus is saying, what I'm saying is not just meant for you 12 people that are standing here and listening to me talk. I am praying for all that will come after you. And that includes you and me. Don't write a doctrine that excludes us from anything he said to the 12 disciples. Amen? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That means that they are going to preach to a generation. That generation is going to preach to another generation. That generation is going to find faithful men among another generation. Young men, they're going to get old. They're going to preach to another generation. And it's going to come right down to us and our children if time goes long enough. Hallelujah. What? That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. Do you ever find any evidence of Jesus and the Father having a quarrel? Do you ever find Jesus having a hissy fit over something that the Father wanted of him? I don't find a quarrel among them. Mm-mm. Why? Because everybody knew their place. Hallelujah. They were one. It was a body. Do you know something else? I have never discovered a quarrel between my right hand and my left hand. I have never found them fighting with one another. I have never found my left hand jealous because my right hand reaches for the shifting lever in the car. You always get to shift. How come I don't? How come they always put it over there where you are? No, I don't ever find them fighting over things like this. My body is one. It moves as one. I'm talking about the kingdom. I'm talking about heaven, brethren. There will be no quarrels or dissent or schism or separation among the body of Christ in the kingdom. I suppose it behooves us to begin now to practice kingdom things. Should we not? Should we not begin to live as if we were in the kingdom? And yet, on the other hand, we say we're kingdom people. Okay? I mean, that's just practical things. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. What's going to convince the world? The world is not going to believe anything as long as the church is quarreling with itself and fighting and debating over it. The world, i.e. the devil, is going to be delighted in that, to see the separation and the schism in the body of Christ. Amen? And the glory, verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. I have given them. Notice the tenses here. He did not say, I will. He said, I have. I've given it to them. All they've got to do is be like one. Be like you and me. And they'll have it. As far as Jesus is saying, as far as I'm concerned, I have done this. I've reached my hand out. I've opened my hand and I've let go of it. I've given it to them. All they have to do is take it. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Why did he give them that glory? For oneness. For unity. Amen? Let's just go one more verse. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. How many believe the Lord wants us perfected? Mm-hmm. Perfected in our oneness. Amen? Do you know he gave examples for us to practice living this way? He gave us marriage. He gave us families. He gave us fellowships. So that we can begin to practice oneness, being one. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. When the world sees the power of Christ in his body, they will be convinced and they will know that the Lord loves us. Yes. There is a God and he loves us. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, there is. Amen. Amen. Revelation. We'll just take the rest of them from Revelation now. Revelation 4. Now, here is the spiritual views. The curtain was pulled back quite a bit for John, and he was able to see. He was in the Spirit. Okay? And chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Amen. He just says one sat. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Have any of you ever seen a round rainbow? Do you know that the rainbow that you see on the horizon is only half a circle? If you can go up in an airplane and look at the right angle, with the right reflection of the sun, you will see a complete round one. I have seen it once or twice. Have you seen it? Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. Perfectly round. In Alaska, we used to see double rainbows because the angle of the sun in the summertime is almost always scooting around the horizon, just makes circles in the sky. And so every time it rains, it seems you'd see a rainbow. And so often, I photographed several times double rainbows, one right behind the other. Yeah. So we're talking about the throne of God. There is something. A rainbow is a prism. It acts like a prism. It divides out all the different realms of light. I wonder how many colors there are, really, in the spirit that we can't see. In the natural. Our natural eyes are so limited. But there was something very beautiful about this throne of God. Amen? Amen. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne, now look at the throne again, proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Amen. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. They're talking about the human soul here. What about this crystal sea? Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. What about this crystal sea? Have you thought about that? Do you know that in a crystal sea of glass, there's nothing hidden? Nothing hidden. No secrets? No whispering of this one or that one? No secret grudges or secret jealousies? It would appear that your thoughts are just right out there for everyone to see. This is the throne of God. He doesn't hide. And if we're going to be a partaker of that throne, we're going to be in that same place. Crystal glass. Amen. Let's go over to chapter 11 and verse 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. These are spiritual visions here. The temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in the temple, in his temple, the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Sounds like a lot of power, doesn't it? Very intense power of the presence of God is found in that temple. In heaven. Where was John? Where did he say he was? He said, I was in the Spirit. And he heard a voice like a trumpet call to him. And he said, and immediately I was in the Spirit. These are spiritual things that John is seeing. These are not natural things. Amen? These are spiritual pictures that he's seeing. Heaven. Heaven is a spiritual place. Let's go over to chapter 21. And we'll take the first paragraph here, some verses here, chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. What does that mean, there was no more sea? Yeah. There's no more world system. There's no more sea of humanity, unredeemed people. Thousands and thousands of unredeemed people. What do the unredeemed just? They just flock to their things, their events. You know, you can think of a big football stadium or a baseball stadium, and just thousands, a sea of man just flowing into that. Some big race car race or horse race or whatever. The sea of humanity just flowing this way and that way, and whatever it is that attracts them. No more sea. It's gone. New heaven and new earth without. It's a spiritual picture. Natural earth, I believe, is going to have a sea. But the new heaven, new spiritual realm, new natural realm, no more realms of wicked men ruled by wicked political systems. No more of that. No more. It's gone. No more corrupt senators and corrupt this and corrupt that, corrupt mayors, whatever. None of that. All gone. Not going to be. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What's happening? The holy city, Mount Zion, New Jerusalem, is going where? It's coming down. Well, I thought we were going to go up. No, it says that heaven is coming down as a bride. She's coming down. What is the bride? The bride is us, is it not? What is the New Jerusalem? The New Jerusalem is us, the saints, the people of God, coming, bringing the glory of heaven down to take over the earth. Hallelujah. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." God is going to dwell in and with men from this point on, fully, completely. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. What is the place where you dwell? It's where you sleep. It's where you eat. It's where you fellowship. It's where you gather with your family, is it not? That's a dwelling. Amen. And you're at home there. So the dwelling place of God, He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. He's not going to be far away. He's going to be right there. You have a problem? He's right there. Answer you right away. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. How many of you want all the tears wiped away from your eyes? There have been too many tears, haven't there? Too much sorrow. Too much betrayal. Too much disappointment. My goodness. There shall be no more death. We have tears from death, don't we? Death is very painful to lose someone you love. No more death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. How many of you want to see that new heaven and that new earth? Amen? Amen? Yes. And He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." You see, this is heaven. I talked about hell. Pretty bad place. But look at the contrast to what heaven is. Make all things new. And He said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." In other words, He's saying, "John, I'm not just showing this to you for your own personal benefit. I want you to share it. Write it down. Share it with everybody that's going to read this." And He said unto me, "It is done. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." My goodness. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." He that overcometh will inherit all things. What's the condition? There's a condition there, isn't there? Not he that names it and claims it. Not he that wants it. But he that overcometh. In other words, to overcome means there's going to be a conflict. There's going to be resistance. You're going to have an enemy that doesn't want you to overcome. There's going to be a fight. You're going to have to do something about it. You're going to have to rise up. And you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. And you are going to win. Overcome means to win.
Amen? Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, it's in the same paragraph, so I'll just read this next verse. But the fearful, here's the but. But the fearful. Oh, did you notice? Fearful. Unbelieving. Lord, I have a right to be fearful, don't I? Well, if you want to claim your rights, but you better give up your right to be fearful. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. Notice what the kind of company the fearful and the unbelievers are getting. And all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And the last chapter, of course, is chapter 22, and I have just a few verses. Go to verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. There's that word crystal again. Brethren, this is not just natural water. This is life. In other words, the kingdom of God flows with life. It flows. There's an abundance of life. Whenever you need life, there it is. It's flowing. You just take of the life, of the water of life, and you just drink it. You just take that life into your being. Just fill your being with life. Isn't that what it's saying? Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Where does that life come from? From the throne, it just flows life. Just life. Life, 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 glory. The presence of God just flowing from His being. Where do we get life from? There's no other source of life.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I mean, Jesus was trying to tell this woman at the well. You come to this well, you keep coming, you have to come every day. You have to use this water, you have to wash, you have to drink, you know. Hey, but I am a fountain of life. I can put the seed of that fountain in you. That life, life, life will flow from you.
Yeah.
It flows from me. Drink of it. Now again, people expect to walk by a natural river and see this kind of tree and that kind of tree, you know. But it's a spiritual picture. Hey, it's better than the natural. It really is. Come on, I'm not destroying your heaven, am I? Somebody one time told me I destroyed their heaven when I talked this way. No, I'm telling you, this is better. This is better than anything you ever thought of before. It's better than any natural thought you ever had of a city with gold paved streets and mansions with your special kind of wallpaper on the walls and that type of thing. This is far better. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. In the midst of the street, and on both sides of the river, there was the tree of life. Well, it just goes to show. Water of life, tree of life. Drink it, eat it, take it in any way you can get it. You know, where was that tree of life first revealed?
Garden of Eden.
Adam and Eve, there were two trees. One tree was life. The other tree was, take on that tree, you're going to know what evil is like. You'll know good, you'll know evil. I would rather not know anything about evil. It would be better if we had remained innocent. Oh, evil? What's that? Sin? Well, I don't know. We don't know anything about that. Don't have a definition for that. Wouldn't it be great if we had no definition for that? Didn't know anything about it? Cheating? Cheat? What's that? Lie? Well, I don't know. All we know is about the crystal. We see everything. Nobody can lie around here, whatever that means. You know? Amen. So there was the tree. The tree of life is, we're going to get back to the tree of life. The angels guarded the tree of life with what? Flaming sword. In other words, fire. You want to get back to the tree? He didn't say you couldn't get back. What you have to do is you have to go through the fire. Because the angels are guarding it with a flaming sword. So, you want to go through the fire, and what's the fire going to do? The fire is going to change you. It's going to burn out everything that is not made of gold and silver and purity. It's going to burn up all the chaff and the impurities and the personal ambitions that you've got and the attitudes that you've got that don't belong to the kingdom. It's all going to have to get burned up. Now, you think you can just go flying through those flaming swords and be on the other side in about, 30-second dash. There. No. It takes time to go through that flaming sword. It's a process. How long? Well, how long are you going to live? Quite a process, isn't it? So, the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits. Now, what does 12 mean? Come on, don't go starting, one for January, one for... No. That's not what we're talking about. 12 means fullness. Fullness. Amen. 12 manner of fruits. By the way, you know about fruit, don't you? You're saying, you know, I remember when I was young, and I was thinking, 12 fruits. Well, let's see, there's apples, and there's pears, and there's oranges, and grapefruit. Wonder what the other 8 are. You know, and, oh, grapes, yeah, forgot about grapes. You know, and then I started learning about mangoes, and I'm thinking, you know, after a while, my goodness, Rita and I have been to the Philippines, we've been to Jamaica. You know what? There's more than 12. And then I got one, you know, we found out there were more than 12 one time, not recently. But one time I found out there's more than 12. Oh, I wonder which one will be the 12, you know. Oh my goodness. Such naivety. It's before I understood the kingdom, you see. And I'm trying to figure these things out in the natural. 12 manner of fruits that yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. What do trees represent? Trees are the trees of righteousness, are men. The planting of the Lord. The leaves are what? The life. The life in the people, the life in the trees. The fruit is love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance. My goodness, he only named 9, didn't he? But there's 3 more. There's 3 more that we don't know anything about. We get perfected, I think there's going to be more. So you see, that's the kind of fruit that is going to be found on these trees, and the life of the trees, the green is the life, is going to heal the nations. Isn't that wonderful? I'm talking about heaven coming to earth. Amen. And there shall be no more curse. Oh, glory. Boy, can you think of aspects of the curse? I mean, the curse isn't just the weeds growing in your garden, brethren, and that is included. The curse is the pains of our getting old. The curse, the women bear children, and the children turn and rebel against the mother that gave them life. Curse the mother. It's a terrible curse, isn't it? No more. No more. Never again. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or on. The name on your forehead means the nature. The nature is in your mind. Your mind has been changed. You don't have the nature of the devil anymore. You don't have the nature of wickedness anymore. Your nature is righteousness. Every thought you think is thoughts of righteousness. You want to do good. You want to express the fruit of the Spirit. There's no desire to be anything else. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle or lamp. It means lamp. No light. No light bulbs. No fluorescent lights. No greenhouse gases. And nothing to worry about. The light of God. The brightness. Neither light of the sun. You won't even need the sun. You won't even have to wait for the sun to rise. I believe the sun will be here. You know, I believe the earth is going to continue to turn and rotate. There'll be people living in the natural. But here's the spiritual realm that's coming. You won't need light. Amen? And they shall reign for how long? Forever and ever. This is the reward. This is the inheritance of the saints, brethren. And finish up with verse 11. And I want to show you the permanence of this. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. That means the man that has chosen unjustness. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He will remain unjust and filthy in the place of eternal punishment. He will not be changed. It is permanent. But on the other hand, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be wholly still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward, notice that word reward, reward and punishment, okay? My reward, this is the positive side now, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. And again, there's a list of those following this who will not enter in, and they're going to be on the outside. Hallelujah. Well, bless the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful place? But you know what? Isn't that a wonderful place, I said. But it's not a natural place. Because if I set up a telescope and say, I'm going to find heaven, I won't find it with my telescope. I can send Hubble telescope up to search the heavens. I can send a man to the edge of the universe. If there is such a place, I won't find it. Heaven is not a natural place. It's a spiritual place. And you know, I have a feeling that hell is not a natural place either. I suppose it's possible. You know, they talk about down in the core of the earth. Mm-hmm. Well, it could be, but it's a spiritual place too, but it also combines with the natural. Because the natural bodies are going to be resurrected, some to punishment and some to eternal glory as well. Well, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.